We've got about 6 months until Wisconsin's primary for governor, and Republicans are coalescing around a single candidate, but things are looking much different on the Democratic side of the race. It's Friday, January 30th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Wisconsin's flagship university will be searching for a new chancellor for the second time in just 4 years. And with fatal crashes on all-terrain and utility terrain vehicles hitting near record highs in Wisconsin last year, the state is updating safety regulations. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first-ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
There's about 6 months until Wisconsin's primary, and Republicans are coalescing around a single candidate for governor. As Sarah Lear reports, that's in stark contrast to the Democratic side of the race.
GOP Congressman Tom Tiffany got Trump's endorsement in the governor's race this week. That prompted another Republican candidate, Josh Shulman, to drop out. Meanwhile, seven Democrats have announced their campaigns to replace retiring Governor Tony Evers. Mordecai Lee taught political science at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He says a crowded primary has both advantages and disadvantages for candidates.
The Wisconsin voter insists on being absolutely unpredictable, and that's why we still hold elections.
In 2018, Evers emerged victorious from another jam-packed Democratic field. He got more than 40% of the vote in that eight-way race before beating Republican Scott Walker in the general. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
For the second time in 4 years, Wisconsin's flagship university will be searching for a new chancellor. Jennifer Mnookin is set to leave UW-Madison in May to head to Columbia University. Michael Bernard Denals leads Profs, a UW-Madison group that advocates on behalf of faculty. He says good leaders purposefully take at least a year to try and understand the institution before making it clear what their initiatives and values are. So when they leave, it's discouraging.
Sometimes there's continuity with the prior leaders' initiatives, but sometimes there isn't. We start up again with a different set of priorities, and that causes some unease.
In a message to UW-Madison, Mnookin says she will be fully focused while she remains in Madison. The Board of Regents says it will launch a, quote, rigorous and robust search for a new chancellor. Fatal crashes on all-terrain and utility terrain vehicles reached near record highs in Wisconsin last year. And as Danielle Kading reports, the Natural Resources Board unanimously approved updated regulations this week that address safety for ATVs and UTVs.
The modernized rules address ATVs and the growing popularity of side-by-side vehicles, or UTVs. A record 528,000 have been registered, with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. As their use has grown, Wisconsin had the second highest number of fatal crashes last year, claiming 41 lives. The DNR's Jake Holsklaw said the changes require both operators and passengers to wear seatbelts and eye protection, but they don't address alcohol use.
There's certain things that we can potentially do legislatively, but there's been some roadblocks along the way. But part of it, too, is just education and that culture shift.
Citations for operating while intoxicated have been trending upward. State lawmakers have proposed bills to address alcohol use that have failed to advance. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A court fight with the Trump administration over a congressionally approved electric vehicle charging program might be coming to an end. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says a multi-state coalition secured a victory against the administration's efforts to block billions of dollars in funds. The State Department of Justice says Wisconsin could have lost out on $62 million for electric vehicle charging. That money came from the 2021 bipartisan infrastructure law. A summary judgment in federal court last week concluded that the administration violated the law in trying to block the funding. Call says it could be the final word on the case.
It could be that that decision is appealed, but based on that ruling, as long as that remains in effect, the program continues in effect as well.
A previous court ruling allowed the state to move forward with its EV charging station program while the case played out in court. Coming up, we'll hear the story of a Cuban exile who settled in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Public Radio brings the state together. With reports from our eight bureaus around the state, WPR is your connection to the pulse of Wisconsin. We are your source for in-depth news from Wisconsin, the U.S., and the world.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a Cuban exile who settled in Wisconsin decades ago. The following feature has been turned into an animation by PBS Wisconsin.
In the summer of 1980, Ernesto Rodriguez stood on the shores of the port of Mariel. He was about to board a fishing boat with 80 other people and leave the only home he'd ever known, Cuba.
And then when they asked me, "Do you want to leave Cuba?" I go, "Yeah, because I don't want to be there."
Ernie is one of the 125,000 Cubans who left the island as part of the Mariel boat lift. Protests and discontent led to a rare moment when President Fidel Castro opened the doors to Cuba and allowed his residents to leave for the United States. Almost 15,000 of these exiles, like Erne, ended up in Wisconsin. Erne shared his life story with me as part of the Wisconsin Public Radio podcast, WPR Reports Uprooted. Once Erne boarded the boat with his fellow exiles, they were bound for Florida.
The ocean in the beginning was calm, but when we was in the middle of the ocean, that's when they started. And that's when a lot of boats sink, people drown. When I got to Cuba, the sooner I get out the boat, I kissed the ground and thank you, God.
Shortly after arriving, Erne was put on a plane with other Cuban exiles and sent to Sparta, Wisconsin. At Fort McCoy, Erne worked in the kitchen and showed American cooks how to make Cuban food.
And then I showed him like how to make a congee and a chicken fricassee. One day he said, "Are you guys like macaroni and cheese? What the hell is macaroni and cheese?"
In this kitchen, Erne became friends with two cooks, the Brandstetter brothers. Their parents, Annette and Roger, would become Erne's sponsors.
She was the best mom every birthday. She making me an upside down pineapple cake every birthday. Sometimes I say, "Mom, I don't want to test no more." And she called me, "Erne, happy birthday. Come and get your cake." I had to love that family because nobody do that for a black guy in another country.
For the next few decades, Erne worked across the upper Midwest. He also started a family. Erne is now in his 60s. He's put roots down in Wisconsin. He has a tight community of friends, other Cubans who arrived during the Mariel boat lift. They play music together, they help each other through tough times, and they talk about their dreams of someday visiting Cuba again.
A lot of family I never met before, like a niece, nephews. Anytime I talk to them, it's, "When you gonna come? When you gonna come?"
Like many Cubans who came to Wisconsin during the Mariel boat lift, Erne has been in a legal limbo for decades. He has not been able to visit Cuba because he has not been able to become a citizen. That is, until the summer of 2023.
That's it. Yeah, American citizen. I'm happy. I'm excited, you know. Waiting for 42 years. It's big, big step. Become an American citizen.
As a U.S. citizen, Erne will be able to cast the first election ballot in his entire life. And he's a step closer to seeing his family in Cuba.
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is go to my hometown, see if I recognize where I used to live. And then I go to Havana, party in Havana.
He'll finally return to the shores of Cuba, the country he left on that fishing boat more than 40 years ago. He'll visit with family he hasn't seen in decades, and maybe even have that party in Havana. And then he'll return to his chosen home in Wisconsin. This story about Ernesto Rodriguez has been turned into an animation and can be seen on PBS Wisconsin's Wisconsin Life or on wisconsinlife.org. More of his story can be heard on the podcast, WPR Reports Uprooted. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, we'll end the show with a quick check of your forecast. Mix of sunshine and clouds today, with high temperatures only getting into the single digits. A few flurries later on in northern and eastern Wisconsin today. Cloudy and cold overnight, with lows in the single digits in the south and below zero in the north. But things warm up this weekend, with highs getting into the teens and 20s on both Saturday and Sunday. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Don't forget to leave us a review wherever you're listening right now. It really does help other people find the show, and we appreciate it so much. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.